No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 55 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. I'm Carmen Morales. I'm your host. With me, as always, the co-host with the most host is Brian Vokey.
Fantastic intro.
Thank you. Really no problem. That. You know Thank what? You. I'm trying to less clunk it up. We got a special guest today, Mr. Chris Riggins.
Hey, what's up,
How
guys?
Are you?
How
are Hell you
yeah. Oh, this is fun. I'm getting used to this podcast life. I like it.
You just go to your buddy's house and you fucking have a chat. And
I thought it was like some real, like, you know, you had to be like in a studio and all that. And I realized you could just do this anywhere.
Nope. Yeah, you can just not have enough money to have access to a studio and you can still make it happen.
Right? And it's, you know, it's also kind of weird because, you know, people are going to listen to the podcast. They don't know we were talking for like 10 minutes ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't
that
know.
Always trips me out. Like, oh, we're introducing ourselves again. Oh, hey.
A friend of mine just did the Joe Rogan's podcast and he wouldn't let him talk before they started.
Oh, wow.
It was just silence. They're just sitting there. And he's like hitting a bowl and just nothing. What? And then. And we're on.
So how are you doing
today? Yeah.
It was pretty strange.
Yeah, that is bizarre.
Uh-huh.
I get the whole you don't want to waste things. I mean, there's shit we talked about before that probably would have been good listening.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could still continue having a good conversation.
Can we still act like humans?
After premises.
That's weird. Like,
I mean, that guy's so intense about everything.
That's just control freakish.
That's meditating.
Oh, my right. God. Yeah. No. That's like when, you know, you do shows with comics. And they're all like, you know, talkative, and then before they go on stage, you get all quiet. And I'm like, motherfucker, you know what you're doing.
Right.
Stop acting like you got to concentrate on this. This is an open mic at a bar. Calm down,
I
got to
access my character real quick.
Yeah, like, you're not Kobe. You don't have to get into the zone. Just go out there and tell those little weak-ass jokes you always tell.
Kobe didn't even have to get into that zone.
Yeah, Kobe was in the zone all the time. Yeah. Like, if that's what I'm saying, be in the zone all the time or don't be in the zone all the time. Don't act like you got to get in the zone. And
I think it's also just some people also have like a lot of fear that they have to talk themselves out of. Mm. But after a while, like once you've done it, like I remember when I first started, sure, I guess it was a little scarier.
Yeah.
But I had a buddy who would have to talk himself out of throwing up before he went on stage every time he went on stage.
Wow. That's
like
exciting.
He had that kind of it. He doesn't do comedy anymore.
Yeah, he's not cut out for it.
It was just like way too much work for him to get
teeth.
In there. Yeah.
Wow. He's really going with that 8 Mile theme
every
show.
Right. Seriously.
Like, was he listening to that too? Just like.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. No, but I do know a comic that is like that. That it does listen. He's hashtag mom spaghetti all day.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And it's like the other ones that get on my nerves are the ones that. They don't want to. They can't smoke before they go on.
Oh, I can't. I just can't.
I can't smoke before I go on. It's like, why?
I think
not.
That's
you be
also
high
just
all the time. Like,
I don't like how you just drove me here. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're more worried about yourself.
Yeah.
If you can't talk, don't drive me.
Yeah. You plan to get drunk and drive me home. Great. Right.
There was a while that I didn't get high. Like now I can get high in specific instances. Like sometimes I want to be faster, so I won't. But then sometimes I want to write on stage, and that's when I go on stage high.
Mm.
Like it's different. It's different, but also fun. But it took me time getting high and being awful on stage to learn how to be high on stage. Good.
Yeah. Well, there is being too high on stage. Like I think one night.
You ever done mushrooms on stage?
I took acid on stage. And
oh shit! Had it kicked in already? Were you?
Oh,
already,
it is. Like, I was like 6 hours into the trip.
Oh my God!
So I was at the point where I was normal, but I was still like, but like this. Nobody knew I was on acid until I told somebody. Damn, I am high as fuck.
Right.
Because I was like, you know, it was cool actually being on stage because I was just talking. Mm-hmm. The only problem is you just kind of forget that there's a light and that there's a time and other people want to go up and you're just like, yeah, man, you're just up there feeling yourself. And next thing you know, they're flashing the light 5 or 6 times. Like, oh, shit, I forgot I had to go.
You know what I hate about that is that if a comic is like a cult following, like a Doug Stanhope type, that's a legendary move.
Yeah.
But if you're not Doug Stanhope, people, it's just fucking annoying.
It's
annoying when Doug Stanhope does it too.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking will say that because it's right. Like, dude, he's so weird, dude.
Yeah, dude. So crazy.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, I didn't tell the audience. It's not like I want to be bragging, like, hey, I'm on acid. I just told another comedian after I got off stage. But it was like I was trying to gauge at what point in my acid trips can I be on stage. And I realized the first 2 hours, no.
No,
you're just like, and then the third, fourth hour,
slay the demons.
It depends on what kind of show. Yeah. You got to fight the movie wall. You know, you got to figure out how to open this door. Like, how the fuck do I get out of this room? Yeah. I'm stuck. You know, and then, you know, like, it's an 8 hour trip usually when you do acid, especially if you do full tabs, like 8 hours. So, I mean, I figure like the last couple hours, you should be able to manage it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of why I know this, I don't want to criminate myself, but. Anytime I take, like, I try a new drug, I always try to drive on it.
Really? Why is that? That's an interesting concept.
Because I'm a paranoid motherfucker, and I'm always worried, because my mother just always made me worried. Don't ever, if you put a drink down, don't go back to that drink. Go get another drink. So in my mind, I'm always thinking someone's trying to, you know, get me high.
Yeah,
and I'm just worried about somebody slipping something in my drink, and I always figured... Well, if I drive on drugs...
I've never met a man with such a date rape fear before.
I know. Not even getting raped, just getting drugged. That's weird, right?
Yeah. Nobody's going to waste their drugs.
Like, I just... Because I feel like I want to know I'm taking the drug so I can enjoy it,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like, you know, I need to know that if I get drugged somewhere, that if I have to get out of there, I could drive myself at least away from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not even date rape. Actually, it's more of like a...
I mean, like the fear of being
like
drugged.
A spy thing. Like, I feel like it's more like, you know, somebody might be trying to sabotage my career.
Right.
They're going to drop some shit in my drink, and then I'm going to be out there in the streets yelling at stop signs and shit. Lord. Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to do that. And then I don't want that to happen, you know, or they could be trying to drug somebody else, and I think it's my drink. You know, just all kinds of weird scenarios.
That was that happened the other night. Like, that's something that I learned from hanging out with successful drunks is like, and drug addicts is like, once it gets to that point, like, I was like, it would happen the other night. We were at a friend's birthday. And he was fucked up, and people were like, "Oh, I want to take. Will you instant?" I was like, "Hey, turn those fucking cameras off, man. This isn't for everybody. This is for us. Like, don't.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be putting this shit out there. Like, are you his friend or not? Because rude. It's kind of rude.
I have that happen a lot with Dave Chappelle, because you know, after the shows, we like to turn up, and people always want to take pictures of him when he's at his most turnt moment in the evening.
Sure.
And I'm like, whoa, nope, guys, come on. You know, like,
be
you know,
respectful.
Yeah. Don't just...
You're already lucky enough to be here partying with this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Why would you want to fucking...
Oh.
You know what I mean?
The sneak pictures are the worst. It's like, I have more respect for the dude that comes up and says, hey, can I get a pic with Dave? And we're like, nah, he's kind of a little fucked up. And these dudes, you're like, all right, cool, I understand. But it's those people that want to, you know, and then you catch them and they're like, what'd I do? Like, could you not take pictures?
Silly defensive.
Mm-hmm. This is a public place. I can take pictures.
Yeah.
That's why it always pays to have big security guards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can afford them. They're large. I went to a...
How many does he walk around with?
None. Except for sometimes. Like, he has his dude, Big Country, who... Like, he just looks like one of those people that you just, if he says something, you just want to go along with it. Like, pretty much don't want to anger you guy, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like the one, like, he'll go up and take the phone from people and delete the picture himself, you know, like,
or delete like the video. Yeah.
But me, I'd be like, hey, check this out, guys. Dave's a little fucked up. Could we delete that? Can I? No? Okay. Look, just don't share. Okay, you already shared on Instagram. Uh-huh. All right, look. Hey, guys, don't tag. Oh, damn. You know what I mean?
Can you please just be a decent human being?
Yeah, I don't know. People can't be decent. Even the most decent people can't be decent.
I think that, I mean, not, and that's a very, like, where old people are right, is, like, people don't appreciate things that happen anymore. They just want to document that it happens so other people can appreciate it.
Oh, it's nothing worse than going to a concert and your view is blocked with these nice tickets you got.
If I paid $300.
Because everybody's holding that phone up. Mm-hmm. Looking, like, it amazes me. It's like, you're, like, 100 feet from this person. You can see their sweat and facial expressions from where we're sitting.
You're not photographers either. These motherfuckers aren't taking good pictures.
The worst videos. It's like the dude that takes the fight video and tries to run with the action. And he puts the phone down, and just over like 2 minutes, you're just seeing the ground at his feet and hearing, watch out, you know. And then
your
it comes
World
up.
Star video shouldn't make me throw up.
Like, oh my God, it's like the Blair Witch Project. You're like, this is not working for me. Like, I just want to see a good old fashioned street fight.
Yeah, that's it.
And instead, I'm seeing your feet and hearing your voice narrate the fight, but I can't see the fight. It's just.
Nobody cares about you at that point. They only care about the thing that you're watching.
I kind of hope that person gets knocked out too. Like,
oh yeah.
Hopefully the person who's on the other side comes and beats your ass too.
Yeah.
Because he knows the video's gonna suck.
Somebody gets punched and the phone drops, and that's when the video
comes. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. The camera guy. Well, you know, camera guys. That's their job. They're not actually there. They're part of the scenery, so they get punched.
But they're in the danger zone.
Yeah, I mean, I usually see a fight and I try to get the fuck away from it. But you know, some people
you watch it from afar. Oh, that looks like interesting. Interesting experience they're having over there.
Ooh, that looks like that hurt. Well, guys, let's get in the car and go home. This acid is.
That's the shit. I've never been a rubbernecker. I hate people that do that. The where people like slow down. And they do it in Los Angeles. I mean, they do it everywhere, but it's really bad because traffic's already bad.
Oh my God! Yeah.
So then they slow down, and it's like, bitch, you're not gonna help. Get the fuck out of the way.
Ooh.
I honk at them. I don't give a shit. I honk at him. One time a cop told me I shouldn't do that, and I go, well, then you need to tell these pussy-ass people to stop watching you do your
job. Keep it moving. Mm. Like, that's the thing. Everybody wants to see an accident. That's why people come to comedy shows. Little individual accidents, go on stage and tell stories of their life sucking. And
has anything happened on tour that you didn't like?
I used to manage rappers, and I went on a tour with this one rapper, and he got very upset because we were smoking weed. And he doesn't smoke weed. So he began to tell us that if it wasn't for his talent, we wouldn't even be on this tour.
Right.
Wow.
And we were like, okay, cool, man. But you know you're the opening act, right? Like, you're not the headliner of this tour. The headliner of this tour is the reason you're on the tour.
It's funny to have an MC or a feature to try to big time.
Oh, my God. That happened to me in New York. It was like my friend Christina Payne hit me up. And she's like, you want to do a show tonight? I was like, yeah, I do a show in New York. I haven't done one yet. So she had these dudes that was doing a fundraiser somewhere in Midtown. And she said, meet me there. I show up. She's not there, of course. She's always like that. She says, meet me somewhere and doesn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there chilling. You know, I go in and I'm, you know, talking to the promoters. And they're like, cool. Like, yeah, we got you. You're good. Yeah, you're going to go up, you know, and two people. You know, we're going to tell the host your name and everything. And I should have known that this host was going to be a fucking dick because it was a fundraiser for some charity, but his face was on the flyer. And it didn't say, it said like two of the other comedians' names, and then it was his name bigger than everybody's. And he's like the whole flyer. And I was like,
Was he famous?
No.
Oh, okay. Classic. Of course not.
Probably famous locally in his borough of his choosing.
In his apartment building.
In his apartment. Oh, yeah. In his projects, man. He's the hottest comedian in the streets. And so he kept, like, you know, kind of pulling that move where he forgets your name. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I was supposed to go up, the dude told him he's going up next. He goes up, and he was one of those hosts that does 20 minutes between every comic.
I hate that shit.
And then he's fucking with everybody in the crowd to the point it's like, okay, it feels like you're only talking to them. The rest of us are here, too. We like to hear some jokes. If you're going to do 20 minutes between every comic, do some jokes. Don't do 15 minutes of crowd work where you just berate this dude because he doesn't have a girl and call him gay and shit. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not even good crowd work either. It's all hacky shit.
Horrible crowd work. And so I'm supposed to go up. He goes up there. He's like, next comedian come to the stage. Man, I forget his name. What's his name? And the promoter yells out my name. He's like, all right. And then does another 5 minutes of comedy about forgetting names. Forgets my name again. And then just brings up the comic that was supposed to be after me because that's his boy. He does this two more times. And finally, on the third time, he's starting to do it again, and the whole crowd, the audience, the promoter, the bartender, everybody says, Chris Riggins.
So it worked out in your favor.
Yeah. Oh, they're like, what the f-? Even they're noticing this shit. Yeah. So he's like, all right, give it up for Chris. Chris. Like, nigga, you still forgot my name. Cool, whatever. I get the mic. I didn't even go in on him. Like, I could have just started charging.
You would have had a great set. It's just even addressing it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I figure, you know what? How about just busting with these jokes? I just did a dope ass.
Yeah, you just high-roaded his ass.
Yeah, I just did a straight 10-minute smash job. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like just people do from the back of the room walked up and high-fived me in the middle of my set. Like, just smash job. You know what I mean? Killed it.
And well, surely he finally got some jokes after a dude kept talking about
I go
this guy being gay because he's by himself.
Oh my god!
Forget your name either.
Oh my god! I finished my set. He comes back on stage and then he remembers. Give it up for Chris Briggs, my boy, Chris. I'm like, oh, now I'm your boy. All right,
yeah.
All right, nigga. All right, little bro. All right, little bro. And I'm like, I'm chilling. So
up together all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. So he brings up the headliner, and I'm sitting over at the bar on my phone talking to my friend. She's sitting there, I'm just on my phone. He's like, oh, man, that was dope. Man, hey, bro, man, that was dope. Hey, look, take my number down. And I was like, oh, shit, my phone dead. And I walked off and immediately got on my phone 5 feet away from him because I was like, yeah, nigga, don't think you're going to play me, and then I'm going to be like, hey, let's be friends.
Yeah.
And you know, his whole angle was, let me book you so I can do some more phony fundraisers and you can help bring in money that I'm
probably
just
taking. Oh, my God. I don't. Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. I was like, who put this together? Like, he had the promoters were the one that helped him put it together and promote it, but I guess it was his idea.
Yeah.
That's why he was on the flyer.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, God.
God, it was.
I love the idea, the guy.
The bigger the name on the flyer, the less I am likely to be cool with you.
Or the more comedians that are on the flyer. Like,
that's
how many people are performing tonight?
I know.
15 plus your friends that walk in and you're like, oh, yeah, he just can't. No. There's some shows in L.A. that I'm probably going to stop doing.
Yeah.
Because, like.
Just too much.
Yeah, one show in particular. I'm not going to say no names. But basically, you know, I help promote. I, you know, try to be as helpful as I can, and then I get put up at the end of the night when there's like four people in the audience and three of them are comics who are still waiting for their turn.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and I'm just like, oh, come on.
Well, yeah, because at that point, it's just a fucking mic. It's
just
a mic where everybody's on the flyer for the mic.
Well, this show, the flyer's rather not, it has like eight comedians on it. Mm-hmm. And I know it's like maybe like 20 comedians go up tonight, but it's eight comedians on the flyer.
Right.
And in my philosophy, those eight comedians should go up in the early part of the show. Because you put their face on the flyer, so you should put them up in the early part of the show. Everybody else, excluding, you know, celebrity drop-ins.
Right.
But even then, I'd be like, what celebrity?
Yeah,
in Los Angeles? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, it's like anybody can be a celebrity for 5 minutes and then come to the Comedy Store and say, I need to go up. And then just, you know, TJ Miller and just fucking eat shit.
Yeah, play slide whistle for an hour.
Yeah, and we're supposed to think you're funny because we see your face on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're so funny, famous guy, because you're famous. No.
Yeah, I got a show at the Improv, and there's always people trying to drop in, and I'm just like, you're not in, maybe in fucking Boulder, Colorado, your drop-in level.
Yeah.
But here.
But not where all the talent is.
Yeah. Everybody's here. You're competing with everybody, and you're not a drop-in. No, you can't go up.
Yeah. It's amazing to see the. It's amazing to see the D-list comics who've got maybe a little TV.
Fucking, now it's fucking G and H.
Oh, God.
When you're dealing with the huge people, they usually aren't dicks like that.
Dude,
it's more like
an
L-list because they haven't done much.
Like even Damon Wayans Jr. was like one time, like, no, I don't want to bump nobody. I just go, you know, and he was like, no, it's cool, it's cool. He's like, no, I don't want to bump nobody. And then everybody's like, yeah, D, you're good.
Yeah,
because you know, that is a humble.
You're adding something to the show too.
Yeah.
That's the other thing too, is if these motherfuckers are lukewarm and you want to have an ego, oh sir.
Come on.
No.
I find in back home, the nicest comedians are the worst ones.
Tell people where back home is because everybody
San Francisco
doesn't
know. Bay Area.
The nicest
in Oakland,
comedians are the worst ones?
The nicest people, but the worst comedians. And you just like them because they're nice and you want them to win, but she's like, you're just terrible.
I got a lot of friends
and then,
like that.
And then the assholes are funny as shit. And you're like, fuck, I hate this dude, but damn, that was funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Down here, I think it's like the opposite. It's like it'd be the people that don't be funny, but, you know, just look the part. Mm-hmm. They be the assholes, and the people that are actually funny be hella cool. And you're like, oh, okay, I see how it works down here. You know?
You got to be nice to get by here. You can't, even if it's completely fake. Because believe me, I'm not a nice person in my soul.
Yeah.
But I will I will walk around. And I will smile.
Oh, I had a comedian. I had a comedian recently. He posted something on his Facebook page, and I just, I respectfully disagreed. I said, as a friend, as a homie, I think you're wrong. I think you're looking at this the wrong way. Listen to some of these other people who are telling you, and, you know, and he started coming, first thing I was in my eyes, you was a, you a fake-ass motherfucker anyway. Just goes off on me. And he was mad about me about some shit that happened on his, on my Facebook page where somebody said something about him that he didn't agree with, and he feels like I didn't defend him. And I was like, you a grown-ass man. I don't defend grown-ass men on my page who come
Not
in.
Not only that, but it's social media.
Yeah, you jumped in a conversation. They didn't agree with what you said, and now I'm supposed to say, hey, guys, no. He's a really good guy. No, dude. You jump in, you jump in. It's like you jump into a fight.
If there was, yeah, if there was a fight and you get hit, don't be mad at me because you inserted yourself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
By the way, if you do like rubbernecking, follow Chris Riggins because you can do it on the internet.
Yeah. Oh. I don't even get into it. I just start it and I leave. Yeah, fire starter.
True, that's true, actually.
But this comedian. Yeah, you know, this comedian, he was still mad about that. I think it was like 3 years ago. I can't remember. I don't even, I remember the conversation, but I don't even remember what was said. I just, it was just whatever. It was another one of those Facebook threads. I was like, all right, you know, and he said, you're a fake ass comedian. You be smiling in my face and you hella fake. And I'm like, and I'm going to keep smiling in your face because you don't have enough weight in my life for me to give a fuck what you think about me.
Exactly.
You could think I'm fake. You could think I'm great. And guess what? I'm not going to lose any sleep either fucking way. Yeah.
That is something that's funny is the level of entitlement people have because they think the internet means something.
The social media.
Like, social media means something. Mm-hmm. It's real funny to see where it's like, oh, yeah. And it's to see the look on their face when they realize how powerless they really are. Like how little they actually affect you.
Oh, my God.
Such a beautiful thing.
It's like I do this new thing now. I'm practicing this new Zen technique of Facebooking where if I see something that I disagree with, I will state my point and then I leave it. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I go back and I see the responses people give me. They're just so angry. And then they get angrier the longer I don't respond. And then all of a sudden I'm all these names and all this shit. And then I just post GIFs at the end, just me laughing. Just like, this is hilarious.
It's like you have 10,000 girlfriends.
Right? You know what I mean? Right? Like thanks for the space.
All of you. I know.
Come on. I'm not fucking you, dude. Yeah. You don't. We don't have to finish this conversation.
Why so much emotion?
Walk away. Like,
well, that's what it is. It's that whole love and hate are the same thing.
Yeah.
And people want to know either way. But if you're indifferent, man, people get furious.
People
about
do not like indifferent. Like, it's like I learned a long time ago, when you tell a woman no for sex, it don't matter how progressive this woman is, this is going to throw her the fuck off. Just because society has been so hard and telling, you know, that it's men always, all guys wanted sex. And then you tell a chick, nah, I just really want to cuddle and go to sleep. Who you fucking? Why you all say you want to what? Yeah. What's wrong with you? What you got, SC? It's like, nah, I'm just tired. For real, I'm just tired. I just want to go to sleep. I've been doing drugs all weekend. I honestly just want to go to sleep. I
she
promise.
Just watches you sleep pissed.
Oh my God!
How can you sleep right now?
But it's like anybody that's been in a relationship knows. You go out on a date night. You get fucked up. You come home. You don't fuck that night. You pass out. You guys wake up with, you know, morning wood and dry mouth, and you still buzz a little, but it's fuckable buzz now.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Yeah, now it's main. Now you can have a good time.
Now you can enjoy
it. You do it that the night that you guys get fucked up. You're just going to disappoint each other. Why would you want to do that? You care about this person. Yeah. Let's pass out.
Well, let's not jump the gun on the care thing. No, yeah. Comes to sex, nobody cares about anybody. Trust
Jesus,
me.
How sad is your love life?
Oh, it's terrible.
Maybe you should start carrying, motherfucker.
I've come to the conclusion, if you didn't come out my penis, I don't give a fuck about you. Like, not in a, what? Like somebody, my kids. Like, yeah, if I didn't make you with my penis, I don't really give a shit if you eat, sleep, live, die, whatever. You know what I mean? Not like that, but It's just so draining. Like, I think what is Facebook has taught me how draining people can be. Everybody on the internet has become trolls. It used to be specific trolls. Oh my God, it used to be such an art. Like, I consider myself a bully troll. So I troll bullies. I troll people
I refer to myself as like the Dexter of bullies. Yeah. I bully bullies.
Yeah, I bully bullies. Like, I'm not going to come after somebody who's just trying to state their opinion and may not be as educated. I'll talk to them. Mm-hmm. But, and that's my thing. But, you know, I'm learning that now everybody wants to sound like a sarcastic TV script. You know, it's like the question. Oh, so I get like, no, just say that's wrong. How about that? Mm-hmm.
There's like a lot of people who are hiding behind sarcasm for everything.
Everything,
including all of their comedy is just sarcastic. but
that also frees you of not having to have a real opinion.
Yeah.
It absolves you of you actually, because then with you stating your fucking opinion, then you have to get with what comes with that.
Yes. Yeah. But the problem is people state their opinions and then they don't like what comes with it. They're like, like people want to state their opinion the minute you disagree. Oh, man, why are you attacking me and trying to keep me from talking what I want to say? And this is my opinion and you don't have to like mine. You can unfriend me. Like, damn, nigga, calm down.
It's okay to disagree.
It's okay to disagree.
I also feel like these are people that don't have friends. You know, like real friends.
Yeah.
Because real friends you disagree with.
No, I think they do. They're probably just neglecting them and losing them. Because
if they act like that at all.
Social media is an echo chamber now. Like, people have, it's like, okay, we used to consider like, you know, LA, the Bay Area, New York, like bubbles. Like, everyone lived in their own little bubble. So you live in the Bay Area, you think everywhere is multicultural and diverse. Mm-hmm. So you even ignore the racism that's there and you don't see the sex. You just ignore it because you're just like, oh, we're so diverse and shit. And then it's like, now with social media, people actually actively just like get rid of people off their page who don't agree with them. One time, you don't agree with me, block. You don't agree with me, unfriend. And it's like, that wasn't even a serious disagreement. Like, that was like, you know, Pepsi or Coke. Yeah. Coke, fuck you. You like Coke, Pepsi, you know? No. Or the, you know, you like Coke? Well, Coke supported apartheid. And and I'd be like, well, Pepsi burned Michael Jackson's hair. Fuck you. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
And that's basically like apartheid.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, like, I run into people that I have debates with on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. You run into them and they're not sure if you're cool. And I walk right up to them and I'm like, what's up? How you doing? Oh, you ain't mad? No, nigga. Why would I be mad about you disagreeing with some shit I said on Facebook? It's kind of like a hyperbolic joke I was just making. You know, I wasn't even really putting, I was starting shit, basically.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big deal, but you're mad and I see that you're mad, but I didn't know you were gonna take it offline mad, you know. Right. Like, it's not that serious. Like,
you just brought up some shit that bothered me about the Bay Area that I'm glad you said this.
So many things.
Yeah, well, I moved there from Georgia.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Everybody in the Bay just told me, oh, that must have sucked growing up around all those rednecks. First of all, I lived in Atlanta.
Right.
But like, they're like, it must have sucked growing up around all those ignorant rednecks, racist South. And I'm like, have you not looked at Oakland at all?
No.
Like, what? I don't understand where that bubble shit, where they were just like, everybody would talk so much shit about where I came from. And I'm like, this is one of the most fucked up places I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
When I moved to Oakland. Like, you clearly are blind if you think
at least the South has order with their racism. Like, we've been doing this while, guys. Don't worry. Yeah, we're good. We don't like each other, but we just keep each other's face about it.
So black people figured out a way to navigate it. That's how organized the racism was.
Oh, my God.
Then they made one of the blackest cities in the fucking country in the middle of all that
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, people would just like fucking go off of me about the South, and then I would teach them about like maybe the West Oakland BART station, the fact that they leveled an entire neighborhood and left it a dirt pile for 13 years before they built the fucking train station. It's like, you don't know what's going on in your own town.
No, here's the thing. Back until recently, San Francisco and Oakland were very separate.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, people moved to San Francisco. They didn't move to the Bay Area. They moved to San Francisco. And they just did not go to Oakland. It was like
that's why there were so many country people that were like, that's Bay Area. That's not San Francisco.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of that shit.
You know, it's like, you know, in the 80s, People that lived in Manhattan did not go to Brooklyn. Nope, sure. Not going to Brooklyn or Jersey. Fuck right. you. Yeah, they made fun of people who were called the bridge and tunnel crowd.
Right.
So they talked these people down, but then prices went up. Mm-hmm. Because all these kids from the suburbs and out of Virginia and all these nice suburban areas, they started moving to New York for art and jobs. And they were like, you know what? We can afford to live in this bad neighborhood. We're going to drive the price up. Right. And then those people got to move out. And then, you know, now it's too expensive in Manhattan, just like it's too expensive in San Francisco. Right. So all those people have moved to Oakland, drove the price up,
right,
and pushed people further out of Oakland. So,
Leandro now.
Oh my God, Antioch. We're going deeper. Like it's one of those things. It's just like, you know.
But everybody thinks it's a utopia.
Oh, it's not.
And it's not. Then first of all, no place is a utopia.
No place is utopia.
But it just it's a bubble ego behind. I just got man. It made me like. Oh, I was like, man, I'm getting a fucking Georgia State flag tattooed on my fucking face. Fuck you guys. Like, I just hated the way people talked about it.
Here's how fucked up I realized San Francisco is with some of their shit. So in San Francisco, everyone fucking hates LA.
Yes, like LA doesn't even know San Francisco's there.
Just doesn't even care.
No.
Just they be so, it's like when you tell somebody you don't like them and they're like, but I like you. Why don't you like me? And you feel so bad. And I'm like, well, what's
more? I think it's more like, you don't like, I didn't, what was your name again? Oh. Who are you?
Sorry. Like, I don't, you know, it's just.
That sounds very difficult for you.
Well, it's because the Bay Area has a chip on its shoulder. Yes. I mean, because if the rest of the country thinks all of California is this, they think all of California is Southern California. Like,
people
were literally asking me in 92, did you see the OJ chase? No, nigga, it was like 4 hours, 5 hours down south. No, it's not. Our state is not built like that. It's a big fucking state, guys.
Right. It's most of the coast.
And so, exactly. So we kind of got this chip on our shoulder to be like, yo, man, everybody thinks all of California is LA. We California, too. We just different. Right. And, you know, Oakland was never like that. Oakland was always like, nigga, we Oakland.
Yeah.
Everybody knows us.
Yeah.
I don't know about you San Francisco people, but LA knows about us.
Yeah.
Trust me. I've come down here many times as a youth, as a kid, coming in my early 20s, and you always run into some gang members who try to, you know, where you from? Where were you from? Oakland. Oh, y'all cool. I don't want no parts of this. It's not many of us, but we are all savages. Like, you know, it's.
You look at old pictures of Brooklyn in the 70s, like Williamsburg and shit. Oakland looked like that until 2008.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like a bomb went off.
Yeah,
in West Oakland.
Once they start putting those sidewalk patio things in parking spaces, that's when Oakland started
changing.
That's
something I hate, and they do that in L.A. too.
I hate that.
Where
shit.
They take an entire parking spot away and
like
they put
three or four of them.
Parklet, I think.
Yeah,
parklet, and they put like nice finished wood, and they make like a fancy little thing for a cafe that goes into the street, and you can sit there.
Yeah.
And it's just a parking spot. Yeah, it's
white women must be stopped.
It's fucking.
It's like, and like especially in San Francisco, where there's already no parking, and Oakland getting less parking. Now, what you're gonna do is you're gonna literally take away more parking.
Every
spots.
City's doing that, the little parklet thing, and then they're also doing the rentable bikes. These rentable bike things are a problem.
They are.
You know those? Like every city has a section of bikes you can rent. They take away like 20 parking spots to put those fucking bikes. Nobody's using them.
But see, at
why
least
don't
in LA,
put them on the other side of the fucking sidewalk.
Why they'll put them on the sidewalk? You know,
Atlanta was covered in them last time we were out there. I was like, nobody, you can't ride a bike in Atlanta.
But I feel like. In L.A., at least they put them in strategic places. Like, I see them in Santa Monica. I see them downtown.
Yeah,
I see them in Hollywood.
Well,
in
Oakland, you can bike.
They put them in places that you don't want to be riding a bike through. Like, why would you put this here?
You're going to get hit with a full Coke can.
You're going to get robbed of the bike, too. They're just going to wait for you to put your credit card in, get the bike out, rob you, take the bike, take the parts, and now everybody's fucked up. Like, no, in Oakland, they actually start moving out of Oakland because they were stealing the bikes.
No shit.
Like, they figured out, just take the front wheel off, and the bike comes right off.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Just get another wheel.
So yeah, I got a wheel. This is Oakland. There are wheels laying around everywhere.
I remember one time I was biking home. I lived in on 11th and Wood, so in the Lower Bottoms. And a friend of mine got a full Coke can right to the head. Fell off. I felt like I was like in a weaker animal herd, you know, because we were all like, well, one got picked off, but I'm going to keep going.
Well, that's it for Jay.
Yeah, gotta go.
We'll always remember Jay.
Just a herd of elephants also, going across Sahara.
I'm not a nice person, so I heard that clunk on the head and him fall over, and I died laughing.
Did he have a helmet on?
No.
Of course, yeah. Oh, I would have paid. That would have been a great World Star video. If you could have got the camera still enough for that one, oh, that would have went viral.
It was just like whack-a-mole. It's just like, we get one of them, boom.
And the funny thing about Oakland is one of those places that somebody probably just did that for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, they didn't even get robbed. They followed up with them.
They never even got over. They didn't even walk over to him. They're like, watch, I'm just hit the dude in the head with a can. Boom. Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it did end up in World Star. We should check.
Yeah, I should check that. Yeah.
Cocaine to the head.
I know exactly where it happened. So.
Posted by Lil Darnell and them. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. The premise of the show is we talk about stuff you don't like. Is there stuff you don't like?
We've been talking about stuff we don't like. Seems like this has been one bitch fest already. In this microphone. What the fuck?
You got In-N-Out on there on your
yeah.
list.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
What? Why? As okay, you got to quantify.
You're born and raised California.
Because I'm a burger snob. So I like burgers that are, you know,
but
like.
Even for like fast food, it's still a good burger.
No.
Why?
The meat
it's
is bland.
It's fresh.
There's no seasoning. Yeah, it's, fresh don't always no, mean. Fresh don't always mean good. You know, like, especially if you like the fucking fries tastes like
the
they're undercooked.
Yeah, the fries are
worse. It tastes like styrofoam chips.
Yeah, the fries too suck.
And yeah, like, but the burger's good.
The it's bun. Crazy
those fries are never frozen. They taste like they've been frozen.
They taste
the bun
like they
tastes
are
stale.
Frozen.
Yeah. The bun tastes stale. The meat is not seasoned.
The bun's good.
Nah, I'm cool on the bun. And then on top of that, they try to push their religion on the bottom of my soda.
Oh, yeah. They do
keep your
that.
Jesus out my fast food diet.
It's the same thing at Cookout. You ever go to Cookout on the,
no.
in the South?
No.
Same thing.
I don't get to the South as much as I should. They got one in Atlanta?
There's a lot of seasoning. You can taste the Jesus. That's how good it is.
Oh, well, yes, he's seasoning. That's another thing. In-N-Out don't even season the burgers. Like, at McDonald's, they at least throw a little salt on the burger. At Wendy's, a little pepper, a little salt.
I like Wendy's.
Burger
way
King.
More than McDonald's.
Oh, I love Wendy's way more than McDonald's. Like, Wendy's is the. If I have to rank them, I'm going to go Wendy's because I can eat everything there. Mm-hmm. The chicken sandwich, everything there is good. Then I'd go McDonald's because I'll eat the fries there too. Yeah. I'm kind of disenchanted with their burgers as it is because, like,
I can't believe you're complaining about In-N-Out, but you think McDonald's burgers are good.
No, I said I can't. They're like
well, they're
almost
soy.
All vegetarian.
It's like,
I'm saying, it's like
I'm beginning
it's
to think
pack.
That like it's like McDonald's burgers are designed to taste good to kids, and the older you get, the less
they're
you.
Also mostly
they're like
sugar.
The reverse Brussels
that's,
sprouts.
Well, see, that's why I never understood when I was a kid why all the adults got filet of fish. I never understood my mom and my dad and everybody used to get filet of fish when we went to McDonald's, and now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, this shit's way better, but I don't want to eat that. Fish, because I don't think it's fish.
You can't get McDonald's fish.
I don't think it's fish.
It's not fish. None of that shit is real. That's why
exactly.
You should eat there anyways.
But what is that mental barrier with everybody where, like, if fish is a little suspect, you're like, hell no. But if a burger is a little bit suspect, you're like, I'd still eat it.
Because you could eat red meat. Still raw-ish. Like, if you look at steak tartare, you can still eat red meat raw. You know what I mean? Mm. You can throw some raw red meat to your dog, and they can eat it. But fish, that's like a whole nother thing. Because, like, you know, fish goes bad because it's from the water. It's not supposed to be on land.
It's also because that shit is, like, the fucked up meat is like a slow burn, whereas the fish, if it's fucked up, will make you sick immediately.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's the other thing, too. So it's like you can eat McDonald's for 40 years before you really start feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then McDonald's has good fries. They got
the
better.
They have the best fries.
They have the best fries.
They do.
I mean, I always enjoy when I show up to a road stop and there's like a Wendy's, a McDonald's, and a Burger King, because I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to Wendy's, get me the double with the Baconator and all the Baconator. Yeah, give me the Baconator.
The Baconator.
Oh, wait, what comes on the Baconator? bacon and meat and cheese. Oh, I got a long drive. I don't need to be shitting. Cool. Let me get that.
Yep.
And then I'm going to drive to McDonald's. Let me get some fries and a milkshake. And I'm going to go to Burger King and get like one of their little dessert pies. And then I'm going to stop at the fucking Love's truck stop, Pilot, whatever, and get like three Arizonas for 69 cents, because they're always cheaper there.
Yeah,
you know,
two for one or something. Oh my god, cents,
yeah. Like that's the perfect thing. But when you have to choose, like I've actually been on road trips and the only thing to eat was In-N-Out, and I was like, I'm cool, I'll go get some chips from the store. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't like the hype. It's not because it's not the best burger place ever. But as far as fast food goes, like it's a good burger.
I don't get like
it's actual meat. Like how that's not better to you than McDonald's.
I don't feel so poisoned after. You know, like I don't have to sleep.
I grew up on McDonald's. I didn't grow up on In-N-Out. I think because In-N-Out, like most people, In-N-Out was a Southern kind of thing. So I didn't eat it. So therefore, I got used to the taste of McDonald's. And I just feel like In-N-Out is like a bootleg McDonald's.
There's not very many In-N-Outs in Oakland either. There's one in Alameda.
There's one in Alameda now. I think there's one. No, there's one in East Oakland by the Coliseum now.
Yeah, they're all kind of new.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, the more restaurants you have, the less original it is. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure the first In-N-Out was
fucking
delicious.
McDonald's, why you're saying this shit?
I can because the fries are delicious. The fries trump everything. Okay, McDonald's fries trump my kids' rights. All right.
You just said you're a burger snob and you're fucking.
Well, you didn't even let me get to the end of my list. I was listing them. So like McDonald's, because the fries come second after
but
Wendy's.
That's not in line for fucking burgers.
Okay, so you want to rank them by burgers. Okay, by burgers is Wendy's, Burger King, Nation's, a Quarter Pound Burger back in Oakland, Sparky's in Oakland, the Telegraph Beer Garden in Oakland.
Can't do this.
What?
We just, it's so.
Oh, funny. We got to do a fast food. My bad. My bad. Okay, so the fast. What are we? What fast food place do we have? We have Wendy's. We have. Okay, so burger wise. Okay, burgers. Wendy's, Burger King. All right, because the one time it was hella good, Carl's Jr., because their burgers are pretty dope. They've gotten a lot better with their burgers. Five Guys. No, I take that. Five Guys before Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
How is Five Guys not better than fucking McDonald's?
I didn't say it was better than McDonald's.
How is that not better than Wendy's?
McDonald's hasn't even got on my list.
I've enjoyed plenty of Wendy's sandwiches. But how is fucking Five Guys, which is, again,
I didn't even list McDonald's yet. I just said Wendy's, Burger King.
You don't think Five Guys is better than fucking Burger King?
I'm a Whopper fiend. I'm sorry, that Whopper. That Whopper tastes good. That's the only burger I eat is the Whopper.
Of your burger from
No.
Right.
Here's why the Burger King works better, because it's flame broiled. All right.
Bitch, it's not real. It's not
don't
real.
Don't worry about it. Listen to me.
I'm not going to lie. I don't even know what that means.
It's put through a conveyor belt with flames that touch it. So it gives you the little barbecue marks.
Okay.
Second of all, they put lettuce, tomatoes, mayo, and ketchup on the motherfucking Whopper. That right there makes it a better burger because it has actual condiments on it.
You're not a burger snob.
I am.
Don't like In-N-Out.
We're talking about fast food. You didn't say burger. Like, if you want to talk about real burgers.
It's in the fucking fast food category.
It is fast food.
It's better than all of the shit that you're talking about.
It is fast food. Whoa. Wendy's is the shit. I'm sorry. Wendy's is the shit.
Wendy's is good because of the variety that's good. Like
Wendy's is good because the meat is good. Mm-hmm. It's seasoned meat. It's fucking delicious. Wendy's is on top. Here's the thing. Five Guys also just came into my rotation. You understand that? So I'm talking about things that I'm talking about in my life.
How can you call yourself a snob when all
you haven't even. Well, you want to know about real burgers? I can tell you about real burgers where they make the patty by hand and they put that shit in the medium. You know what I'm saying? And then you get the right mayonnaise and the right bun. Like I'm telling you, if you ever go to Oakland, there's a spot called the Telegraph Beer Garden, and they have all these burgers. They have a mac and cheese burger. They have the 5150, which is half ground beef and half ground bacon.
Oh, they have one of those here in 5050 Burger here in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Wait, is it called the 5150?
5150.
Yeah, okay. That's when you're about to
It's so yourself. Perfect. It's like, it's literally like perfectly pink with the bacon in there. And they give you chips. And you drop chips, little shits be dropping on the chips. it's so good. actually, my favorite burger I ever had, though, was in Portland at this place called Killer Burger. And the Killer Burger, which is the signature burger, is a bacon, cheese, peanut butter, pickle burger.
I don't know about this.
Oh, it's delicious, dude.
Peanut butter?
See, I've heard about like the Elvis one, which is peanut butter. I think it's peanut butter banana on a burger or peanut butter on a burger.
Yeah.
But there's no cheese or anything.
No, this one's good because it's not regular peanut butter. It's actually like the Thai peanut sauce.
Oh, okay.
So, because like a lot of, I've had that burger at another spot and they use actual fucking Jif and it was like, this is not what I expected. It's the peanut butter is too thick, but this shit is like, they make it like a sauce.
Right.
So it's like perfect. But you get the peanut taste in there and it's sweet. And then you got they put these sour dill pickles on it and bacon and then the cheese. And you have to order, like, don't be sitting there like, oh, I want to take this off of it. Because once you take something off of it, you kill the vibe. Like, I found that out when I was in Gardenia and I ate the Krispy Kreme, the Luther Vandross.
Is
the
that
Luther.
Donuts for a bun?
Yes, they call that the Luther. I didn't know they named that after Luther Vandross until I ate it. And I was like, oh, that's fucked up, y'all.
You start singing.
Oh, my God. I see why Luther died. No, it's,
he's a large fella.
Dude, he couldn't lose weight because of that. I was like, but.
You know, you don't have to eat him anymore, Luther.
Yeah, you don't have to eat him anymore. And I made a mistake, like, because it comes with a fried egg on it. And I said, I want a fried egg on that shit.
Oh, no, you got to.
Got to get the fried egg because the egg yolk ties the sweetness of
the savory together.
If you do it without that, it's like,
yeah.
Because remember, there's no condiments on it. There's no like mayo and mustard.
Yeah, the egg is the fucking.
The
condiment.
Egg is the condiment, and I felt so stupid after eating because I felt like an idiot. I was like, wow, I just let myself down. Like I just, I didn't examine this burger well enough. But there's nothing like just a good old burger.
To a point where I got a burger that's mine.
But not like the kind of burger that probably killed you. Like,
sure, what else do I have to live for?
That's true. Man. Got a point. What are we aiming for here? Yeah,
exactly.
Burgers.
Let's get the Vokey. What is it? It's 4 grams of heroin. It's a 51-50 burger. It
comes with a side of Molly.
He had one and he died.
One. But you'll make it. It's the challenge. It's the challenge.
You'll get a t-shirt if you live.
Oh, you'll get put on the wall. This was your last picture, though.
There's a sandwich place in Hollywood that's got one of those sandwiches that if you finish it, you get on the wall. And then you can design Fat Sal's.
Oh, yeah, where you can only eat after drinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I tried eating it sober and I almost threw up.
No, you can't.
You gotta eat it fucked up.
I've never been there.
It's like those bacon wrap hot dogs. You cannot eat those in the middle of the day. It's like, oh, this is horrible. But in the middle of the night, because I used to, if you watch a bacon wrapped hot dog made when you're sober, you're like, what the fuck are you putting on this shit?
Yeah.
What's with all these onions? Oh, you put mustard, mayo, and come on.
Yeah.
It's too much.
2 a.m. though. Oh, yeah. Put some more onions on that. Yo, put some more onions on. Man, put some more onions. You got any more bacon? And you just then dip the bun in the grease on the thing and then give it to me. And you just sit there all just eating it at 3 a.m. Like, oh, this is so good. Oh,
you get bacon wrapped bacon. It's like a French braid.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Jack in the Box is one of those places I feel should not open till about 10 p.m. Like, y'all don't need to be open during the day.
Yeah, those people
just open at 10 p.m. Go to 5 a.m. Go to fucking sleep.
It should be a psychiatrist's office before. Yeah, like if you're walking in here, you get a free.
Yeah.
Psychological exam.
Because
like, what are you doing here?
Here's
right
the fucked up part about Jack in the Box. He don't even come up with his own original shit. He just copies everything everyone else does. Says Jack's all new, cheaper. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Why you want to make that shit cheaper?
I feel like in the drive-thru, Jack in the Box should start with, so who hurt you?
Right.
Because their food is insane.
And Carl's Jr. is kind of like on that same level, except for
a little more respectable.
They're more respectable because like Carl's Jr. was a place that there's not a lot of them.
I've noticed. They use the word butteriest. Buns, like they have that word buttery.
Yeah,
bums me out.
But ask yourself this question: have you ever seen a Carl's Jr. go out of business?
No,
never.
Taco Bell's go out of business.
Taco Bell's go out of business. Burger King's go out of business. I've seen McDonald's shut down. I've seen all shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
But you never see a Carl's Jr. that went out of business.
That's true.
Well, if Carl's Jr. goes out of business, they just make it into a Hardee's. It's still fine.
Well, that's the thing. It has another, like, I think Carl's Jr. is bigger on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Hardee's is for sure.
Yeah, well, because it's the same shit. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that until I was like, wait, it's the same shit. And then, because my cousin came in from Cleveland and he saw Jack in the Box and he was like, oh shit, Jack in the Box. We don't have that in Ohio. I'm like,
I felt that way about White Castle when I went to the Midwest. Yeah,
I was on my way to take him to get some good ass Korean barbecue, and he's like, "Oh, can we go to Jack in the Box?" No.
Oh, dude, they have tacos and burgers. It's so crazy.
Oh, dude,
that is some shit that's on only West Coast.
Yeah,
you don't get that shit anywhere else.
Tacos aren't that big outside of West Coast.
You get tacos and a burger at a place like a Del Taco or a fucking Jack in the Box. Because I remember the first time I ever thought of, I went and saw my sister in Oregon, and she was just like, "Oh yeah, you could get a taco or a burger." And I was like, "Oh, that's crazy! I never heard of that."
You're like, "Oh, what?"
But now that I'm an adult, it's still just like, why?
I think if they deport Mexicans, they should take tacos with them. Nope, y'all can't have tacos. No more tortillas sent to the U.S. That's how y'all gonna play the game. Fuck y'all too. Gonna fuck your Tuesdays up.
You know,
it's still fine. They'll just find another ethnicity. They'll be like, it'll be a falafel Fridays.
Falafel Fridays.
Yeah, they'll turn into Europe. They'll just be kebab everywhere. Oh, my God. Really good to our Arabic
for
immigrants.
Sure.
Oh, great to them.
So much so we group them in with Lebanese and fucking Greek and everything else.
We'll be eating British street meat in the next 4 years.
Scotch eggs.
Scotch eggs.
Or whatever they sell on the streets of Russia.
Yeah.
What do they sell on the streets of Russia? It's all kebab.
Really? Yeah, it's true.
All kebab everywhere.
But kebab comes from other places.
I know. But there is Russian street food. I don't know what there is.
It's like that. It's like that moment in the Ballad of Ricky Bobby when he says America created all these good things. He's like, pizza, Italy, chimichangas, Mexico. I was like, yep, that's America. We think everything here is ours.
You know what's a West Coast shit is when the Warriors won that first championship, I was on Mission Street and all these dudes were throwing tortillas into the street.
Oh,
and
yes.
Everybody was just launching tortillas. I had
what the fuck?
Never seen anything like that in my life.
Why?
Because they're like our disposable resource. It's all we have left. We can't dispose of water. We can't waste water. No. Can't waste gas.
All we have is tacos.
Throw these tortillas.
It was just the whole street just had tortillas in the air.
Like, oh,
it was
my God.
Fucking frisbee. It was hilarious.
And I know the pigeons had a field day.
Oh, yes, they did. They're eating chicken.
San Francisco pigeons are snobby as fuck. They don't just eat anything off the street. You know, has to be organic. Boo boo. They're not about to just take your bird seed because it's out your hand. Like, who did your hand touch before you touched the bird seed? We got some gangsta ass geese in Oakland. Have you fucked with the Oakland geese? The Lake Merritt geese.
I am from a Lake Merritt geese.
Yeah, they're not. They're not to be fucked with.
Yeah, I had to do a little zigzag. They can't zigzag.
I got a ticket for kicking one.
You should. You should have got a medal.
Well, here's the thing. And the thing that pissed me off more about the ticket was the geese was attacking my daughter. And she was like 2, so she was shorter than the geese at the time. Aww. And she was like, we was feeding the ducks. And the ducks are chill. The ducks just high. They just sitting there in the water high as fuck. Like, what's up, man? You good? Oh, you got some bread for us? All right, cool, player. Thanks, man. And they eat their little bread and they flow off. Some more ducks come in. The pigeons, they stupid. They don't get fucked. They just want shit on you, you know. But the geese, the geese run the park. The geese, you got to check in with the geese.
They're big.
If you do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One bird seed in the park, I want in. That's the geese. And they saw her with the bread, giving the bread to the ducks. They was like, "Oh, did the ducks pay? Did the ducks pay they taxes this month?" Nah, we gotta do something about this. And they ran up on her, and she was like, she was not the scared baby. So she was like, "Oh, what's up, big bird?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And she tried to go for him, and I kicked the shit out that goose. Kicked it so fucking hard, and the park ranger was sitting in his truck right there, and he was like, "Dude, come here. Did you just kick that goose?" "Yep, it attacked my baby." "You can't kick the geese." "Fuck these geese." "All right, man, I got to give you a ticket." "Fuck your ticket and fuck these geese."
What did the ticket say?
The citation was for vandalism. It was like, it was like, because here's the thing. I think he kind of sympathized with me because he was like, "All right, I guess it was trying to attack your daughter, but you still can't kick the geese. Like, why don't you just grab the kid and run?" Because that's not how we do it in Oakland.
Right.
We don't get the kid and run. We fight the geese. Even when the geese be like, geese up, we be like, all right, shit. So
my friend's dog killed a goose down at Lake Merritt in front of so many children.
Oh.
The dog got loose from her and ran. It was this Aikido dog.
So oh, yeah. Like, he's made for killing.
Yeah. It got a hold of a goose and shook its neck, killed it, blood all over the white feathers and all these kids. And we just stood around. We're like, all right, let's go. We like grabbed the dog
and see,
left this dead goose.
And that's the reason why we have people on the internet today that are too sensitive.
I know.
Because you got to let them kids see the geese die. Like, look.
This is look nature. At it.
Watch this. This is life, little homie. Life is going to be like that sometimes. You're going to be chilling with your geese friend. Next you know,
some Korean dog is flying down the fucking hill and will murder you.
And that explains Donald Trump in America.
You need to learn you're not shit.
Basically, everybody's on the food chain, little nigga.
You just got to find your place.
Find your place. You have a gut, you might be at the top. You have a knife, you in the middle.
I'm so glad I didn't get a ticket, man.
Oh, dude. I don't even know what they would give you a ticket in that case for. I don't even know why he gave me. I think he
probably
gave me a ticket.
Leash ticket.
Yeah, that'd probably be it.
Yeah.
Like, I do
they
what.
Give you tickets for not having a dog off leash?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Wow.
Especially like in a park like Lake Merritt. Because, you know.
There's a children's playground thing and, there. Oh.
And white people bring the little small, quirky looking dogs, so they don't want the pit bulls eating the quirky looking dogs. That's the fun part.
There's also a giant church on that lake that looks like a huge pussy.
What?
There's,
what do you mean?
There's this lake in Oakland and there's a church there. It's a Catholic church, too, which shocked me. And it's got this hood.
Yeah, it looks kind of like the Pope's hat, but just part of it that looks like the pussy. Like, you know how the Pope's hat looks? It kind
of. Wow.
I've got to show you a picture of this. And guys, if you and listeners, Google.
We'll post a picture of it on
Lake
the Facebook
Merritt
page.
Catholic Church.
Subsequently, when they approved the budget to build that, the archdiocese, that is, they shut down lots of Catholic schools in black and brown neighborhoods in Oakland. It's amazing. It's
really
funny how that happened. It was.
Wait, I'm missing the link. Is that because they pulled the funding?
Yeah, it's all the same. The Archdiocese of Oakland, that's their building.
Right.
And so they wanted to build a new building because they wanted more Catholics to come to church. And then they was like, yeah, we'll just shut down the black and brown schools that we have.
The Catholic schools?
Yeah.
I'm mixed on that because those kids deserve an education, and they
but
deserve.
Not a Catholic
but
education.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice. Like, hopefully, somebody filled the role because getting the Catholics out of those neighborhoods is not a bad thing.
My kids are doing far better in regular school.
Yeah.
Because the Catholic school, like, they don't even like the teachers. Just be like, I think the teachers be volunteers, so I don't even think they really give a shit. Like, the first the kindergarten teacher, she was the shit. I loved her. She was like
was
on
she
a nun? No, she was just like this little redhead lady who I think used to do LSD or some shit.
Yeah.
And she was just like really cool. The kids loved her, but she was firm but lovable. So she was cool. She got them ready to go to the next grade. Next teacher, you know, wasn't bad, but wasn't the best.
Right.
And progressively, as my daughter went up in classes there, the teachers got worse. Like, literally got to the teacher, that old teacher that's like Danny Glover and Lethal Weapon, just too old for this shit.
I think a lot of Catholic teachers are like drill sergeants in the military. Like, they failed in the regular army, so they just reassign them there. Like drill sergeants are always, you find out when you're in the military that they're just the drunks. They have DUIs. You can't deploy them.
Yeah.
All right, go train the new soldiers. I think that's probably where the Catholics get their teachers from.
Oh, dude, they make
like
them go to
fucks or something.
Yeah. That's the thing I was saying. You don't let, that's why, what? That's why Catholic, I think that's basically why Catholic is just, Catholicism is just the weirdest one, because it's like, wait, so your clergyman can't fuck? You mean? I think every religion allows somebody to fuck somebody. I mean, no wonder so many pedophiles join. It's just like, so I don't have to explain to people why I don't have a wife and I'm always around kids.
Yeah.
Awesome! Two birds with one stone. I never really met a priest that I'm not freaked out by.
So your kids go to school in the Bay still?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, they go to a charter school now with hippies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Berkeley?
Not Oakland. This new fandangled charter system. And the English teacher got mad because the kids kept teasing her. And she quit in the middle class. It's like, bitch, you're not cut out to be with 13-year-olds.
Yeah. No, there's no meaner group. Oh,
I did that. I remember it. I was in, I think, 9th or 10th grade. Our biology class was the reason a woman who had been teaching for like 20 years quit.
No, that wasn't the reason. She was already done. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
I think one class, they made her cry. It was real bad. Oh, I made they were real mean. Yeah, we're real mean.
Yeah, when I thought teachers made a lot of money, I thought that was fun. Yeah. But now I realize, like, I don't make shit. I feel so bad that I called you a loser. Because you really were. Damn.
I didn't mean to nail it on the head so hard.
Damn.
You have something on your list that I wonder if having a 13-year-old kid and you're around in a hippie school, the two woke people. Being from the Bay Area, you run into that a lot.
Oh, they're so woke. Brian, they're so fucking woke.
They never say anything wrong.
They're so woke that they're tired. Yeah. they just need a little nap. Just close your eyes in the car ride from one protest to the next protest. Get a little shut eye and wake up with a refreshed wokeness.
Yeah.
It's not even like the word woke doesn't even mean what it means meant anymore now. It's just like, yeah, it's pretty much mockery now. You're woke, really? Like, lesbians are the worst.
Lesbians are the worst.
Let me take that back.
Why?
I'm gonna rephrase
it. At least quantify it.
White butch lesbians are the worst.
PE teachers.
Oh, not even that. Not even that lesbian. Now, here's the thing. I like old school lesbians.
Yeah, of course.
You meet them lesbians that's in their 50s and 60s. Them chicks is cool as fuck.
Scars on their knuckles.
Yeah, they came from the era where you didn't talk about being a lesbian, and you just hung out in the back of bookstores, and you picked out the chick with the cutest flannel and mom jean. You did. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You had your little manly look. You know what I'm saying? But you didn't look too manly, just a manly look. You just look like you didn't wear skirts. You know what I mean? It wasn't a big deal, you know? And you could always tell the old lesbian, they usually had like a woman that was like a little bit younger than her, and she looked a little bit more femme, but she still looked pretty butch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're a couple, they got a Subaru, you know, they got dog babies, and you know, they was chill. They didn't give a fuck. They don't bother nobody.
Because they had a fucking fight to exist.
Yeah.
That always is good for you.
It's these new lesbians that they did all the work for.
Yeah.
They get on my fucking nerves. Like, I did a show and I did my joke about relationships. And these two lesbians, non-gender conforming, but they said they were lesbians. They came up to me, they said, "Have you ever considered doing any of your jokes non-gender conforming?" I'm like, bitch, I don't live that life.
Have you ever considered catering to 2% of the population with your material? Otherwise, you're a hostile.
Right?
Fucking,
It's not like I was bashing. I didn't say, you know what, hey, fuck all other sexualities. Heterosexuality is the shit. I was just like talking about my experience dating women.
That's the part of it that I don't understand is once you're projecting how your life onto somebody else's life, like, it's not your job as a comedian to know what that is like because you don't live that life.
Well, that's like the thing with Dave Chappelle. Sorry, I just interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
I mean, it's like the joke he said, never bashed trans people.
We've talked about that. If anything, it was a positive message that came with it, but it was just from his perspective of him.
It's from somebody who's not in that community. Yes. It's like I can't speak for that community, but I can talk about my experiences with that community, and this is how I feel. And he just basically kind of said, look, you can be who you want to be, but you just can't expect everybody to get it at first.
Right away.
Give people time. Yep. Like, yes, I get it. Trans people have been around for a long time, but the issue...
They haven't been in mainstream, though.
Exactly. Give us a couple of years. Yep. It took us a while to get used to the gays. Mm-hmm. It took them a while to get used to the blacks on TV.
Yep.
Give us a couple of years, and we'll know all the lingo. Mm-hmm. And if you... Like, that's the thing. That was the only thing that pissed me off one time. The lady was just... Like, I had a situation where I misgendered somebody, but she didn't get mad. She just corrected me. She said, I just want to let you know that I am a she. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my bad. I looked at your throat first. My fault.
Right.
But cool. That's who you are.
And now you knew. And then you knew forever more. And you weren't a dick about it or anything. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. And I talk about this all the time is like patience. Change requires patience.
It does. You know, I mean, of course, there's some people who don't want to change and they're fighting it to the.
Yeah.
So those people, you don't show them patience. No. But people who are just everyday regular living and don't get your lifestyle. I mean, or not even like, I don't want to, what is it? Lifestyle? Is it,
it's I not, don't even know.
It's you. I don't get your life. I'm not going to say lifestyle. Don't get your life and what you like and what you feel like. Just don't be mad at them right away. Now, if they come off disrespectful.
That's also different. And that should, that, and that should need to be, yeah exactly.
And
hey, don't be a dick just because I'm different than you. Fuck you.
Exactly. Because David said it very clear. He was like, look, I don't think anybody should have to suffer discrimination and that nobody deserves that, you know? Right. But at the same time, I don't get it. And I'm just letting y'all know I don't get it. So maybe someone can help me out. And yeah, oh, by the way,
understand.
I'm a comedian too, bitches.
Yeah, I'm not a politician.
Yeah.
My favorite line of that one was when he said, I don't really remember what joke it was because I have so many.
Right? Right? He's like, what you want me
but
to
I
do?
I think it was this one.
Well, it's like when, like, you ever get into an argument with somebody who's not a comedian in your family or something, and then they automatically tell you you ain't funny because they mad?
Yeah.
That's why you're not even funny. You're a little comic. You're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And they say it as if they saying that will make you stop. Like,
How could you?
That's the truth. No, I don't care. I'll probably go to a show, and if there's 80 people, I guarantee you 20 of them didn't like me.
Sure.
Guess
that's
what?
A great ratio.
Don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, just don't care. And, like, that's the thing. People now want to be like, I don't mind you speaking up your offenses. Like, I'm offended by that. But there's a way to say, yo, that offended me, and tell a person, yo, what you said was kind of offensive to me, and, you know, and then let them say, oh, my bad, and then move on.
Yeah.
Not, you offended me, fuck your whole career.
Yep.
Fuck everything you do. I hate you.
Your kids don't get to eat anymore.
Oh, dude. Like, I get in this debate about Chris Brown all the time because, and it's funny, like, I find that the people that hate Chris Brown most are the people that never listen to Chris Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Never even checked for him until the whole Rihanna thing. And they, like, they spit so much vile venom towards that kid. And I'm like, what he did was fucked up. It was wrong. But he hasn't done it again. He has done more things.
Yeah, it's the thing of, like, people aren't, they're not allowed to change and learn from a mistake.
Well, it's a pattern. Like, yeah. So what he did was so fucked up. It was hella fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
But he learned from it. It's not like he has a history and a pattern of beating women. He realized he did that because his mom, his dad beat his mom. And then he went, got counseling, and he actually took the steps. Like, I started following him on Instagram maybe right after that happened. Because I felt bad for the little nigga because I was like, yeah, man, I know how Caribbean girls could be. She probably fucks you up a couple times. You just defending yourself because she was stronger than you. You had to fight harder. And I get it. I get it, Chris. But all at the same time, he was a young dude. He was like, what, 18, 19?
Yeah,
I'm like, you fucking do. You know, the example I always use is one time my dad hit my mom. One time. Never again. Should I hate my father for the rest of my life for that one time? Or should I realize, yeah, he fucked up, but guess what? He still made sure we had a house, roof, hair, and he never did it again. He learned. He grew. It's not a pattern.
Right.
And people want to take away your whole livelihood because you say something they don't agree with now. Like, oh,
right.
We're going to boycott you. Like, I actually had someone say we're going to boycott me. I was like, cool. What you going to put on the flyers for the boycott? You want me to send you a headshot? Because... It sounds like some good ass promo right now.
I was gonna say you're getting great. Like if they're boycotting you, that's great.
Oh, I was encouraging it.
Your name, having the crowd say it to you. Like, this is a lot of good PR,
right? You got here. Like I want to. I was thinking about that. Maybe like I'm gonna fund a boycott of myself.
I thought about that too.
Create a whole like.
Yeah, just, he's got a bit about like doxing himself.
Oh, I have a
like,
whole bit about because when they were getting Nazis fired on the internet.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if you get fired from your job at a protest, this is a real thought I've had. then that you get unemployment because that's a wrongful termination because that didn't happen at your work. So I was like, I'm going front row next Nazi rally.
Oh, not and even then, have a sign, just be like, I'm here to get fired.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was like, I'll shoe polish the Hitler mustache, take a picture of myself, send it to my work, get me fired, get unemployment.
Different account. Like, they don't even know. They'll be like, oh, you got to go, man. You'll be like, oh, for real? I got to go.
Oh, okay. Waking up whenever I want. That's great.
These chumps are going to be so dope. Oh, my God.
I care less about my reputation.
I'm friends with Talib Kweli, and I follow him on Instagram. I mean, on Twitter, and he gets into it with these people. And, like, yeah, like, for all kinds of weird reasons. Like, he gets into it with white rappers because they feel like, you know, he's disrespecting them all the time, and he's like, "Well, you're whack." So yeah, not white rappers, just the culture vulture ones, just sure. The you know Jamie Kennedy from Malibu's Most Wanted ones. You know,
right.
So there's one rapper in Minnesota side. He gonna ban Quali from Minnesota on Twitter. He said,
atmosphere?
"No, Atmosphere's the homie."
Okay,
he's like, "Nah, Quali's no good in Minnesota. Quali better not show up anywhere in Minnesota." And I looked and I screen capped his homepage, and it said 100 followers.
Right.
I was like, "How you gonna ban him? And you don't even have followers that are 2 miles away from you. Like what? What?" What banning are you going? Are you going to go to every airport in Minnesota, every border, make sure, take pictures? Hey, don't let this man into this state. Don't let this man into this state. It is funny. Even people from the state was like, "Dude, shut up. You can't ban nobody from here."
That happened to Tom Segura with his new special. He had a Louisiana joke.
Oh yeah,
and everybody's like, "You're not welcome in Louisiana."
Oh, sorry.
So he booked. He booked three theater shows in Louisiana.
Sold out
immediately.
Yes.
He had to add a show.
Get out of here.
Okay. Chris, tell people where to find you.
Like
on the internet.
On Facebook.
Yeah, definitely on Facebook.
Definitely find me on Facebook. I may not have room for new friends. So remember what Drake said, no new friends. No, I don't. If you can't add me now, send a request. And what happens, like every couple of weeks, I'll post something and like 30 people will unfriend me. And then I bring in the new people until they get offended and unfriend me. So I got a pretty good system, yeah, actually.
It's a rotation. You got like a farm league. You got like what's that called? Minor league baseball system.
Well, it's like, you know, I read people's comments on my shit and I see what they don't like and how they. So then if like I want to get rid of them, like, all right, you always comment that bullshit on my page. Hey, and I'll say something specifically about that and I know they're going to come. And I'm like, well, you should unfriend me. I'm going to do that.
Yep. All right, kid, you're in the majors. Yeah.
You're in. You've been called up.
That's a good way to keep your 5,000 friends fresh. I know,
right? It's like the MySpace top 8. You know, I keep it.
Top
5,000.
Top 5,000. I'm on Instagram at Chris Riggins Comedy. Chris Riggins, hi, on
Twitter.
It's with two A's.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. This is fun. Yep.
Yeah. No, sir, I don't like it podcast at gmail.com. That's no, sir, I don't like it podcast at gmail.com. At no, sir, pod on all the assorted social media. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What the stupid one?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.